All right, good morning. I will call us to order for the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, August 25th. Please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
My cell phone, put it on.
Well, thank you and good morning. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address topics on today's agenda. Is there anybody wishing to do so? And seeing no one moving the microphone, we'll move on to consideration of the August 18th minutes.
Your approval.
Second.
Any corrections or additions? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Minutes pass. Personnel actions as listed, Board.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions pass. Consideration of claims for August 27th.
I like those two. Second.
Motion and a second. Two.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Claims passed. Consent agenda. Board, please add road closure 1608 and utility permit 1625.
No approval with noted changes.
Second.
Clinton.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. That leads us to public hearing item. Second consideration of ordinance 241, amending ordinance 161. Ryan, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good. Last week. Again, this is a second consideration for this ordinance, which would rename West 4th Street and Southwest 4th Street to West 3rd Street and West 3rd Street. Again, this is happening due to a change the city of Nevada made within their city limits. To create more consistency with their grid pattern. I have Connie here today, our E911 coordinator, and she was requested to be here to perhaps answer any of your questions as to what brought about those changes within the city of Nevada.
Right. And I think it's probably important to note that this was a request by a citizen that asked us some questions that we felt it would probably be a good idea to have someone from either Nevada or Connie to come and explain that since we're not a part of the initial discussion.
Sure. Connie, how are you today?
I'm good. How's everyone here?
Good.
Well, what's driving the address changing is Next Generation 911. From now on out, instead of the MSAG, which used to be the Master Street Address Guide, we're going to be moving to GIS-driven locations. And so because of that, the state of Iowa had contracted with Geocom to come in and synchronize all 99 counties, their GIS information and their telephone information and all GIS information that's accessible for comparison. And we got those reports back last February, and I started right off working on them and then took off time for budget. And it needs to be done again by October 1st. So in doing so, we did a lot of synchronizing and found errors in addressing in a lot of towns. Nevada had some inconsistencies. And in working with that, they decided that if they were going to correct some of these changes, they were going to correct all of them right now. And one of the problems was everybody thought the western beginning of the addressing was West 4th Street, which in fact it should be West 1st Street. So according to the grid, there was not enough area between West 1st Street and West 4th Street in order to make the grid complete. There was only maybe two or three houses. So you couldn't go from the 100 block to the 200 block to the 300 block to the 400 block. So in that consideration, that was why it was decided to change it to West 3rd.
But Nevada has already renamed West 4th to West 3rd.
Yes, they have.
And so now the question before us is what we do with that same portion of road that's currently 4th, but now in Nevada. So you'll be driving on the same road and you'll be on 3rd, and then all of a sudden when you get into unincorporated Story County, you'll be on 4th.
That's correct.
And did I read correctly that there's 9 residents or 9 properties that will be impacted if you make this change?
Yep, there's 9 properties that are currently addressed along that span of road that will require them to change their address accordingly.
Have we been in contact with all those?
Yep, they were all notified of the hearing. What we did hear from one of those property owners who did speak on the request last week that did voice his concerns. It's merely a reality of doing a change like this, having to change your address, which the county understands, but something we all have to go through.
Kind of even when we put the initial 911 addressing in, how many years ago that's been? Has it been 15 years?
At least.
Okay. Say it again, Leanne. 96 and 97, so we're almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So somebody has to change their address once every 20 years.
It wouldn't be that bad.
Okay.
And I would note, it looked to me when we sent those notifications that only 4 of those property owners actually had their mailing address at those properties.
All right. Other questions before we open the public hearing? All right. In that case, we will go ahead and open the public hearing on our second consideration of Ordinance 241. Anybody wishing to address the board on this topic? Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing and turn to the board for action.
I would move approval of the Ordinance 241, Amendments Ordinance Number 261 on the second reading, except the third reading for, somebody help me with the date.
September 1st.
September 1st, 2015.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Further discussion? 2.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes on second consideration. Third and final consideration will be September 1st. Thank you very much.
So, question. Now that it's done, did that change the sign then between within a few blocks? Is that the idea?
Yeah, there are 4 signposts that will need to be changed, and discussing with Darren, our engineer, they will merely use stickers to cover up the 4 with a 3, so there will be no cost to the county actually for this change.
I was just wondering about that.
Yep.
Thanks.
Additional items, consideration of Story County social media policy for 7-day review. Alyssa.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi there.
On the agenda, you'll see a draft of a social media policy. This is something the county has not had. We do not have a policy that describes what you can and can't do during work hours. Social media is a hot topic for a lot of employers and in the HR world. There are a lot of risks that are associated or stem from it with employees' use of social media. So what we did is we put together a policy that provides personal use guidelines. It also states in there that employees are not allowed to use social media while they're working. That would not apply to, if you have an employee out on a break and they have a cell phone and they're out on Facebook or during their lunch hour. We're not restricting any time that, but when they're in the office working, they're not allowed unless it is for professional use. We do have certain departments that have Facebook sites, Twitter, or they use it for investigations or for some professional use. So anyway, you'll look in this. I'm not going to go through all of it because it was out there. On the last page, it says they shall not. It has what employees shall not do. They can't post comments that are discriminatory or that would actually cause issues with our harassment policy and engage in anything that would put the county at risk due to that.
This is on a county social media. We're not suggesting that somebody can't do something on their personal.
Well, they can't do anything on their personal that would cause the county liability as far as discriminatory towards another employee, towards a vendor. anything like that. We do have the authority to put that in our in a county policy.
Let me give you an example of where what my concern is. And I'm going to use the example of TIO, you know, whoever designated public information officer. You know, I'd like to be designated to, from the board standpoint, to be a watcher of social media, you know, just in case somebody out there is continually saying great positive things about the job we're doing, you know, at least for a small period of time I can feel real good about those comments, even though I don't tell them that they're out there. What I'm referring to more than anything else is a lot of times when I go to my own iPad, I get the little pop-up notices. And I may see a pop-up notice from a former student of mine that just sent me a quick message. To just click on that and look at it, you know, it's probably all that I'm doing. I'm not sending and responding, you know, at that time during work hours. But would that, in essence, be something I shouldn't do under this policy if it's adopted?
If we're paying you for those hours working, correct, if it's personal use.
I don't like it.
Okay.
But I understand why you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are breaks and there are lunches. We have some departments that have had issues with employees using their county computers, logging into Facebook.
Well, yeah, that's the difference between county computer. I understand where you're coming from. And I'm only speaking of my habits. Mm-hmm. That will be hard for me to break. Because I don't necessarily take what I call a 15-minute break different times of the day, you know, like, you know, certain individuals may do that. While technically we could do that. So I'm wondering from a standpoint of monitoring it. Now, if obviously things are shown out there that's inappropriate, we at least now with the policy have something to come back on and say, you know, this was done during work hours in violation of our policy, blah, blah, blah. Then we can determine what disciplinary action, if any, we would like to basically do.
Mm-hmm.
But the question again is, how do you monitor this?
Typically what happens is you have somebody file a complaint that something's posted on there, it's not appropriate, it's, you know, and you can't have anything in a policy that would, you know, employees have First Amendment rights and they can post certain things on their personal. This policy does not, you know, it does not subject them to anything. If they have protected speech rights, they can do that. It does say that they can't post stuff during their working hours. So at 9:10, when I'm in my office, I shouldn't be logged into Facebook posting pictures of my kids and what we did over the weekend.
I got you.
Yeah. And that's, you
right,
know,
if somebody's on
policy,
a break and they want to check
their personal device.
My only question on this, Alyssa, is the first bullet that you have there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm with you. People have their First Amendment rights. And so maybe I'm not understanding that first bullet. Mm-hmm. But it looks to me, and let's just use the whole FlexCash thing that we just went through. If somebody had wanted to go on their personal, maybe somebody did, I don't follow this stuff. If somebody had wanted to go on their personal Facebook account and say, this board of supervisors is the biggest bunch of so-and-sos because they're taking $700 a month right out of our pocket, they should absolutely be allowed to do that.
They can do that.
And so that first bullet point, what is that, malicious or threatening or intimidating?
No, they use the reasonable person test when they look at that, if you ever get into litigation on that. But, I mean, they have a right to talk about their work conditions,
absolutely,
their wages,
right,
their
that's
benefits,
what I
and stuff
make
like that.
Sure
correct.
Yep. You don't
that's
infringe
actually
on anybody yep. or even be perceived as infringing on anybody's right to.
Right. No, that. And this doesn't. We did have, I don't think we have any, we don't have any of our attorneys in here. And they did review this policy. It has a lot. The state put a policy out. It's similar to that. We looked at the NLRB decisions, even though we're not governed by that. Iowa PERB hasn't come out with anything as of today giving us any decisions concerning social media. So.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions for Alyssa?
No.
If not, I would sure take a motion.
I would move approval of the social media policy pending the 7-day review.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Two.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Passes pending 7-day review. We'll see you in a week.
I'd be interested in seeing what kind of questions you get from this.
Absolutely.
That's what could be interesting.
Alyssa, please make sure that when you send this out to all staff today, you just underscore this is there is no effort being made here to control what people do on their personal time and personal account. Okay, thanks. Discussion and consideration of price quotes from CHC and Advanced Healthcare Medical Services for the yearly fee of inmate care.
Hi, John.
Hello, how are you?
Sorry about that.
Sure.
How you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks. All right, so take us through this.
All right. We've had CHC since, I think, 2008, 2007, and I know we've had a change in how we're purchasing, so we're talking quite a bit of money that we're comparing them to another agency. Going through the process, we found out that there's a separate code section that we have to be in compliance with and that an RN has to be available, so that kind of changed some of the things around. So I've got two proposals. The only difference between the two is that Advanced does not offer telepsychiatry, so we would lose that. And their quote, they do not have it at this point, as well as they do not have it. When I originally did this, they didn't have it quoted for what it would take for an on-call RN to be available as well. So I can go and get another updated quote from them. I just want to make sure I'm doing it the way you guys want me to, so I can get another quote and then also give CHC a chance to revise their quote and then bring it back and have some more discussion with it. I just want to see where we're at with that. Otherwise, right now we're sitting at about $3,000 difference, but Advanced is offering us some off-site cap money that we could use if we have to take somebody to the hospital, where CHC was wanting to take that away. Our budget that we budgeted for this year were well under, both of them are well under where we wanted to be, was at $255 for the actual medical contract, so we're well under that, but again, try to use them where we can make the two competitors go against each other. We are happy with CHD, with the services that we've had since 2007, so like to keep it going, but again, get the most bang for our buck.
Okay, so go backwards and talk to me about telepsychiatry, because I thought that was an important part.
It is,
of what we're
and that's
doing.
Why we want to keep that, because that's every 2 weeks we have where the psych doctor can actually see the people that we have that are mentally ill, and that is an important component which Advanced does not have.
So if we went with Advanced, how would we address that?
We would probably have to either see if we can, depends on the issue we have there, is that the region does have telepsychiatry available, so we can maybe go to the region. Only problem is then you have two separate entities fighting on, well, that doesn't meet our formularies, that doesn't meet how we take care of things, and they may not accept what that psych doctor wants to do on the particular person that we have in custody. So there's a possibility there, just be a matter of working. I could probably get that in a quote too from Advance. Would they be willing to work with who we have in the region?
Okay, and do we know what the region would cost us? Have we?
I think it's all, we can bill it back, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so that would be a regional cost.
Yep.
Okay. And Advance, since they don't offer it, I would think that they would have real interest in working.
I would hope so,
like
yeah.
Okay, and what was the other part that you said is different?
There's, you have to have not only 24/7 doctor on call, but also the RN has to be available 24/7, which they didn't put in their original quote either, which we would have that with what CHC quoted out.
Okay. Questions.
Well, it sounds to me like maybe we need to go back and
we need to clarify what we're asking for. Get apples to apples from both. I would like us to make sure that we understand what we can do with telepsychiatry through the region and see if both of these entities would work with us on that, especially since it's something that the region would pay for.
Yeah.
And then help me, John, help me understand the relationship between these entities and our existing jail diversion program.
Right now, basically, we make referrals. If we have somebody that is basically needs to go out to the community and use those services, Amy and also with our medical staff that we have, they'll do the paperwork on the inside of the jail to start the referrals and then refer them out to the community, whichever care provider that is, be it primary health care, be it Optime, with their jail diversion. Depends on what meets that person's best interest to try to go to.
So both Julie and whoever we contract with would have that responsibility.
Correct.
How do we determine which one of them is doing it in a particular case?
It depends on the case, yeah. Amy usually oversees, again, what she'll get the information from HEC or from our nurse, and then she'll make the referrals to whoever's out in the community to make those connections.
So should I view that more as a partnership between
yeah.
them? Okay.
John, I may have... When I was listening, I was still trying to go through and pull up the document here on my pad, so I may have missed it a little bit. But when I was reading down here and it talked about the CAC will provide supplemental RN hours at $50 an hour, and you said something about something we already have that in place currently right now.
Correct.
That means we would not necessarily have to contract for that service?
That's in there in case, let's say, if they are conferring with somebody and it goes past their time limit that they have allotted for it, which is 2 hours a day. So if it would, then we would have to pay that, like paying somebody overtime, basically,
right.
is what it would be.
Okay.
So if I had an influx of five people that needed to be seen that day, that person would probably go over that two-hour limit, and then we would end up having to pay that extra hour or so that to get through all five of those people.
Okay. So on a normal basis, this is not something like a person doesn't come in for a full day out of a week or a couple of days and so forth. It's really based on a shorter period of time based on individual need. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So, John, it looks to me like we need to move down the road of getting this thing requoted.
Okay.
With the telepsychiatrist running through the region, see if CHC will do that with us, see, make sure that it aligns with what Advance wants to do. I'd like to further understand how the relationship works between whoever we contract with, Amy, and then specifically how we're working with OptumHay
okay.
as we start to pull all of that together and make sure that we're not, that something's not slipping through the cracks.
Correct.
That we have. That was my concern in reading through these. It did not look like comparing apples to apples, and so I'm glad you spelled
correct.
That out for me.
Right, and this is the first time I've had to do this, so I want to make sure that we're doing it right and also getting the best, you know, the most bang for our buck that we're competing those two against each other.
Perfect.
As long as the telepsych component is...
Right. Very important. I think we need to continue that.
Okay. Deb, am I missing anything? Okay. Anything else we need to talk about today?
No.
Can we just give direction to go out and get us?
Yeah.
So I guess in essence we're rejecting both these quotes,
right.
and we're asking for new quotes that pull everything together.
Correct.
That's
yep.
what I was saying.
Okay. Yep. All right. So no action on the quotes. All right, Shel. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, John.
All right, next item is discussion consideration of agreement with Iowa DOT to permit the use of County Road E18 as a temporary detour for the temporary closure of US 69, which is going forever, isn't it?
Yeah. This is on the consent agenda last week. It was pulled. There was some public comments, and thought we needed some further discussion on this, and that we have plenty of time to get this approved, so that's not an issue. Let me pull up a map. I can point out where the roads and the issues are with color. It's hard to see the color, but that's the bridge right here. The DOT is looking at replacing this next construction season, may start in the spring. They haven't really put time frames on it yet, but it's a bridge, so you're talking 4, possibly 5 month closure here. So the DOT has asked permission to use E18 up here as a detour route and then down to Ames. So this would be the only county portion up here. The agreement pretty much says we allow them to use this as a detour, and then if it sustains any damage because of that detour, we will get paid for that. They also have a formula for just normal wear and tear, so we'll automatically get maybe $1,000 or $2 out of this agreement just for normal wear and tear. It's not a big deal. But the agreement is really in place to allow them to have a mechanism to pay us for that. We cannot add other things in, like the gravel roads around it, which is my main concern, because that is not part of the official detour. And I've had discussions with this. This will be the fourth year in a row the DOT has closed a major road and routed traffic onto our gravel roads. So I'm not a big fan to see it happen either, but I know Story City has a concern that it was just 2 years ago they had the whole stretch closed of 69 for a long period, and we got a lot of traffic on these gravel roads. This would just be a one-mile closure right here, but in my opinion, that will cause even more traffic to use the gravel because they only have to go 1 mile around to get back on 69 and down. So we'll be seeing a great increase on this gravel.
We would have been better off if they had closed the whole thing again. But this way, there'll be traffic that will come up to that point. They'll come up to 140th, and, well, not even that, a mile south of there, and then they'll go back east and then north. So it's going to put more pressure on those gravel roads than it would if the entire length was closed, and they're completely replacing that bridge.
Yeah, and I talked to them about the issue of possibly doing it one lane at a time, and that's really not an option because they're raising that grade considerably. When you raise it up, you can't do one side at a time. You pretty much have to do them both. So that's really not an option.
Is this within the stretch that they just repaved?
It is. 2 years.
Why wasn't the bridge done then?
Well, I assume it's because they needed access to do the whole stretch. They couldn't close it down because they had to get construction traffic through it at the same time. But I can't answer that question.
Okay.
It's the DOT project. Yeah, I was not real happy to see it close again this soon.
But they've been amenable to work with if we want to, because I'm sure we're going to get requests to treat those.
Yes, that is.
3 miles.
They won't put it in the agreement, but because it's in their internal policies already, that if they cause harm to the gravel roads around there, they will put dust control down. So that, and I already told them that's going to happen. They agreed that. They know it's going to get a lot of traffic, so that's going to happen.
And is 550th going to get it, or is 530th going to get it?
I would assume both of these stretches,
yeah,
both ways. We just don't know how much is going to take an extra mile up here or continue on down the gravel. That is just kind of have to wait and see. But at least those first mile detours need to be dust controlled. At least,
and what happens if we don't agree to this?
They said if we don't agree to it, they've never really had to happen before, but if the county won't agree, they will just find another detour route, and the traffic will still use our roads, and we won't get compensated for any damage. So that's really our only option.
Okay. Other questions?
No. Mark, do you have any comments you want to make on the record?
Come on up if you want to make comments, man.
No, the only
Mark Jackson, city administrator from Story.
The only concern that we had was on the permit. It indicated that they were going to be closing 69 from Ames up through to that point. As long as they're not doing that, I don't think we'll have any issue with it. I mean, I'm kind of with you. Why didn't you do it at the time 2 years ago? I get that, Supervisor Sanders. That's our only concern. Was that, as long as they're not doing that. However, if down the road somebody gets a bright idea, we're going to close that entire stretch, then we'll come probably visit with you again.
Okay. Further discussion?
Thanks, gentlemen, for
thank you.
Yeah.
As well.
But at least we've given them due notice that we do have some concerns about not only the timing, but the impact it will have on the gravel roads and so forth.
I'll move approval of the agreement with the DOT for the use of County Road E18 as a temporary detour.
Second.
Motion and second. Further discussion? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes. Thanks, Darren.
Thank you.
Discussion consideration of strategic plan for Story County, Iowa. Dan Harder.
What I'm going to present to you this morning is really the final product of work that started this past February. I'm going to go over just a little bit of the planning process and then delve into the strategic plan. This is an update of the current, the strategic plan that was adopted 2 years ago and that ran through the end of the last fiscal year. This plan that's before you would go August 2015 through the end of June 2018, at the end of that fiscal year. So it's a three-year plan rather than two-year plan, which was the former plan. Again, as in the past, identified some specific projects and programs for the board in Story County wishes to work towards accomplishing, and it really does serve as an excellent communication tool between our different departments in county government and our citizens in Story County.
Yeah, would you move the mic in front of you for closer?
Well, I have it here for me, but I got trying from it.
The planning process that we followed really did start in February. The elected officials and department heads were sent a simple sheet to respond to four different categories or four different questions. One, identify through an internal checklist where the internal pressures we have going on within our organizational framework. Now, the flip side were the external pressures. And then describe objectives and what is hoped to be accomplished over the next 3 to 5 years. And then with that, keeping in mind where we are, what have we accomplished, what do we build on to go forward. And then lastly, what new initiatives you might like to see brought forward. So from those responses, we had some group dynamic exercises that occurred then in February. And then once the results were tabulated and different committee or sub-elements of that work project met, we were able to come forward, I think it was earlier this month in August, and do some draft prioritization and really come up with the final product that's before you today. It's broken into four sections: introduction, challenges, objectives, and projects. Again, the challenges are those internal and external. In the past, we have not included our challenges, and I think what it sets a foundation and a way to go forward and identify why Story County selected different projects to towards which to dedicate our resources. It's also used to develop those projects and initiatives. Then the objectives build on the challenges. So you get the theme here. It builds on each layer. There are five objectives identified in the strategic plan. I'm not going to read them, but they really do continue what we've been doing thus far. Everything from looking at our compensation strategies to doing our COOP-COG and the training that's necessary for that, looking at watershed management planning and water quality initiatives, looking at building security in all of our county facilities, and then reviewing those necessary technological solutions that we need, such as intranet, to help us function more effectively as a government. Then those objectives translate into project areas. And in the draft plan, I just do want to note one potential correction on page 5 in the introduction. It states, through the strategic planning processes, Story County prioritized six projects. Six should be taken out. There are a number of projects that were prioritized through this process. There are six main topic areas is what it should be. So just strike six. The six main topic areas for which projects are identified, and you see the linkage back to the objective statements I just addressed: employee compensation benefits, parks and trails, community resiliency, which correlates to that COOP-COG, water quality, infrastructure, and public safety. And then each of these, as you go forward in the strategic plan, have a table that identifies several action steps or more detailed projects for that topic area, along with benchmarks, start and finish dates, responsible offices or departments, if there's outside experts needed, as potential budget implications, and explanation and comments. I'm not going to go over all of those other than just giving you the six main broad categories. On the employee compensation benefits, the overall goal is to states following up on the transition from the past practice of flex pay to cash. Job classifications and wages may need to be reevaluated in the interest of keeping and hiring qualified staffing. During this process, we will need to ensure competitive employee wages and benefits are available to staff. So under that topic area, there are three action steps or three more detailed projects that help us over the next three fiscal years accomplish that priority area. Under Parks and Trails, the goal is to ensure sustainable funding for conservation, parks and recreation, trails, natural resources, and outdoor recreation to sufficiently enact priorities and continue to monitor developments in the legislature regarding funding initiatives and proposed policy changes. These steps will assist as the county works with the ISU Research Park on their green space planning and work to create a comprehensive conservation and recreation plan for the entire county. Additionally, recreational facility infrastructure improvements will be a priority. And then under this, there are five action steps. At any time, please, if you want clarification or want me to delve in more detail, let me know. Ground Community Resiliency will evaluate current Story County building security needs and planning and develop strategic plans to meet future needs and ensure system continuity. Work to encourage communities in Story County to have updated emergency operations plans. They're exercised regularly as a safeguard in times of disaster or emergency, and will create incentives to encourage citizen and business disaster mitigation and preparedness. And again, under this, there are four projects and action steps. And particularly in this one, some of those action steps actually are contingent on each other. They build, and it's a more fluid process, dynamic process. Continuing on to water quality, work with partner agencies to address known water quality improvement needs and assess countywide water quality on a watershed basis, address critical water quality issues such as a county passing regulation requiring septic tanks to be pumped every 5 years, and monitor regulations at the state and federal level to ensure the county accounts and plans for any and all regulatory standards regarding water, wastewater, floodplains, and stormwater management. And again, there's five under that category. And then infrastructure, we will continue to build in the five-year road plan, the CIP and cornerstone capstone efforts, and define long-term financing strategies. These plans will help Story County as we plan for and finance roads, bridges, transportation, and related infrastructure mindful of extreme needs and gaps in funding for these projects and capacities. I just want to highlight these three in specific because these are very, very concrete that we can, working with Darren and the county engineer's office and the continual dialogue with our CIP and the five-year road plan, these are great ones to be able to demonstrate how we're achieving success with our strategic planning. Number one, decrease the number of posted and functionally obsolete bridges by 5% each year. And we know what that percentage is, a clear target to reach. Number two is resurface, reconstruct 1/30th of our paved road system each year. Again, very concrete. No pun intended there either. And then lastly, place new rock or gravel on 1/4 of the gravel roads each year, so about 706 total miles.
And I think it's just important to point out that's more than we've been doing traditionally over the last few years because there has not been funding available to do that. Aaron, am I right in saying that's probably about twice the number of bridges that we've been doing, probably about twice the number of paved roads as we've been resurfacing, and not quite twice, but almost twice of what we've been rocking here the last few years. Is that all right in there? And we just got to recognize there's some major funding implications with getting this done.
Going on to public safety, continue protecting the public from new trends of threat and supporting alternatives to treating mental health and or substance abuse needs so that jails are no longer the de facto care and treatment facilities. Again, five action steps under this topic area. So with that, what you have before you is the draft. If approved today, I'll make sure it's released in different avenues and published, and then again have it printed for your wall. Are there questions for me?
That's what we need, some more wall art.
Yeah.
Well, we'll replace this one.
We'll replace that one probably, more than likely.
I do have more wall art, too, to put up.
Well, that's okay. And, you know, it's not all bad, too, because you could just shift it over and you could see before and after. You know, it shows some of the beginning part of where we are and where we're at today, you know. But anyway, we need to fill up these walls somehow. Just a comment again, Leanne. Kudos to everyone that was involved, all the input from the various departments and so forth. And
the structure that we put together. You know, when we went down this path a few years ago, I envisioned that this was going to be a much longer and more lengthy process, and I was not quite sure if we would have something that we could really identify with several actual steps that we'd like to do. And I think when you've got a plan in front of you, you've got something as a guiding document, and then you can come back from time to time to see how it's being implemented, and only in some areas, depending upon funding, if certain things have to be shifted. But I think it really clearly, not only for now, but for the future, gives Story County a clear path of things that we have determined are priority needs as we move forward. And I just wanted to thank you and all of those that were involved in getting us to this point. And obviously, as this moves forward, this is not done. We still have a lot more engagement and processing, trying to determine the level of implementation and the timetable by which we can accomplish all this.
Yeah, well said, Wayne. I mean, I view this as, so what we've already got on the wall, that was great. That was our first swipe at it, and in my mind, that was basically us saying, planning is going to be important, and here's a big swipe at what we want to do. This one, to me, is just a really, really solid plan that if anybody wants to know what we say is important to us, you can go here and look. This is what we say, and then you're going to be able to figure out if it's really important to us or not by what kind of funding we allocate to actually accomplishing these things.
I like it because it gives us some direction. I mean, you can... You know, I'll talk like I'm an old retired deputy sheriff, but you can sit back and wait for something bad to happen or something to happen and then react to it, or you can try to plan for, make a plan for the future and be proactive. And I just want to applaud everybody that's been involved in the process. I think it gives us something concrete that we can put our hands on and say, this is where we want to, the direction we want to go for the next 2 or 3 years. And like Rick said, our first attempt at it was just that. It was the first attempt. I think it set us in the right direction. And I think as we go along, we'll refine the process and it'll just get better from here.
All right. With that, I would sure entertain a motion.
I would make a motion to approve the strategic plan as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Two.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Strategic plan is approved. Leanne, thank you so much for your leadership on this. Anything to add before we move on? All right. Thank you. Next item is discussion and consideration of urban renewal area project extensions for cities of McCallsburg, Kelly, Collins, Maxwell, Nevada, and Huxley. Leanne.
When Story County first adopted the economic development policies and started implementing it through the wards and letters that are sent and forms that are developed and sent to the communities that receive funds or entities that receive funds, we selected an arbitrary date of November 30th annually to have the projects done. We chose a November 30th date because the certification date is December 1st. So for the projects through three rounds, we've had first round, we had everyone able to meet that deadline. The second round, McCallsburg had a $56,000 water looping project that took a couple years to do. So it went past that November 30th date last year. And then this year, we know this remainder of this year upcoming this November, we know that the remaining communities I've listed there are not able to meet that. For example, Nevada with the community campus, City Hall campus project. The structure won't be here until at least December. So in tying to the communities, I'm recommending that McCallsburg be extended to November 30th of this current calendar year, and then the remaining communities that are listed there be extended till the end of the current fiscal year, which is June 30th, 2016. And I think as we go through this next round of funding, it would be worthwhile for us to have a discussion. Do we look at a fiscal year date rather than just that November 30th date? Because communities and school districts, we all follow the same fiscal year. Mm-hmm. And to me, that seems to be a more logical date. Are there questions?
I think it is the intent of these, it was our intent in funding these projects, that the projects get done. I think there needs to be some recognition that sometimes things take a little longer than expected. I like the idea of us more formally moving to a fiscal year kind of timeline on these, but that's not where we are right now, so we need to take some kind of action or just pull the funding out from under a couple of these projects, which to me would be the worst thing we could do.
Questions for Leanne?
I'm just more confused in a little bit. When I look at the projects we have here compared to what we have listed here earlier this morning, and there's a couple of them you're saying that are not being represented.
This was last year. So what you're looking at is, so your left hand is last year,
right.
Your right hand is this year. So two different documents.
Okay, so we're talking about extending
What we approved last year.
Gotcha. Yep. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I switched the numbers. McCallsboro is 65,000, not 56,000.
Good. Yeah.
Thank you.
So we have a motion to extend. I'll make a motion to extend the deadline for the city of McCallsboro for their project completion on November 30th, 2015. And then Kelly, Collins, Maxwell, Nevada, and Huxley until June 30th, 2016.
Exactly. Thank you.
Second.
So, motion second. Does that take care of all of it?
I think so. Leanne? In conversations I've had, yes.
All right. Two.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Project deadlines are extended for those communities.
Okay.
No agency reports, no departmental reports. Other reports, partial draft presentation of the C2C coordinated long range plan. Chris Jansen. Hi, Chris.
Hello. I also have with me Chris Shires today, one of the other consultants working on the project. Let's start it here.
First of all, thank you for you guys' work to this point.
Thank you. We are happy to be here and enjoying the process up to this point. Go ahead and get started here. We're going to go over a little bit about the project website, go over a schedule review, talk about the draft documents, where those are at, and the general format of the plan at this point. Again, the key word of all of that being draft. This is quite, the process goes through 2016, and so we are through June of 2016, so we have a little bit of time, and there's a couple engagement activities still to come that we'll go through, but we're going to overview the public engagement activities that have been done, talk surveys and input meetings, and then talk about upcoming meetings. The overall idea here is to give you guys a general idea of what we've done with public engagement and an overview of what is available upcoming for public engagement. So as you have people that you're talking to and that you're able to tell them, oh, yeah, here we got this coming up or this is open right now, that kind of thing. That's the general course rather than running through draft documents with you guys. So consultant team with this, obviously Story County is the lead on this project. MSA, myself, and Sean O'Shea and Jason Valerius are working on this, as well as Mr. Shires here, and Matt Carlisle and Shannon, she changed her, Gab, from Confluence. And then we have Britt Palmberg from Design Workshop is working on the economic prosperity chapter and market analysis and that type of stuff. Easiest place to send people, if they do have questions for you guys, send them to c2cplan.com. It works on desktop, laptop, phone, tablet, looks all the same. There's a bit about the plan. There's posts with every one of the PowerPoint presentations we've done, whether it's with the project team or this one will be on there, the Citizens Task Force, that kind of thing. And there are also draft chapters up there now, as well as a meeting schedule. So all the upcoming meetings and the dates and whatever times are available are on that website as well. If you can't think of anything else, just send them to that, and they should be able to find it. Schedule, so we started in March, and we are now into August, where we were having this partial draft presentation to you guys, and then we have Planning and Zoning Commission, same sort of thing, and we're going to talk about land use with them on September 2nd. So those are kind of the upcoming meetings for this month, and then September, October, we'll jump into more of the land use with the project team and Citizens Task Force, which meets on the second Thursday at 5:30, the presentation starts. So their next meeting is September. They have one in October. We will then have another presentation to you guys and P&Z in November. And then December we'll take a break, but January are when we'll have the public open houses. So we will spread those out amongst communities like we did with the initial public meetings and allow people to get a look at the plan and provide feedback and that kind of thing. Moving on from there, we have a couple other meetings with the task force and the project team, and then Planning and Zoning Commission reviews the plan starting in March, and you guys will have a work session in May, and then June is our timeline for adoption, for your consideration for adoption anyway. Again, this is just scheduled meetings. If somebody was looking on this website, there's a tab page that says scheduled meetings. All the meetings are on there. They're all public meetings. Some of them are noticed with emails, that kind of thing, the Citizens Task Force. The project team meetings are every 2 weeks. They were changing in September to the first and third Tuesdays right before your board meeting. Basically, those start at 9, and they're here. So, again, all the meetings are public, so if anybody asks you about, they've all been open and will continue to be so throughout the course of the plan. Working draft outline. Starting with Chapter 1, Introduction, Chapter 2, Public Input. Chapter 3 will be Vision, Goals, and Objectives for the Planning Elements. Those are things that are not the natural resources, recreation, land use, or economic prosperity. Those are the other things that the comp plan covers. I'll talk about here in a few minutes. Then we have recreation. Conservation of Natural Resources and Recreation would be the official title. I've got to get that changed. It's been changed on the website. But then we have the land use chapter is 5. Economic prosperity is 6. We have a community indicators, which is all of our background information on the demographics and all that kind of stuff that's interesting if you look at it in the entire length of the plan, but it's not always what somebody wants to see right up front. So we put those. We put that into an appendix as itself. People can reference it, but it's really more of a reference material type thing at that point. We'll have the full survey results in Appendix B from several surveys. Appendix C will be comprehensive plan summaries from municipalities in Story County as well as the counties that have comprehensive plans and land use regulations outside of Story County. So, Marshall County, Hamilton County is, I think, the only one that you guys border that does not have zoning or land use control. So the other ones will have a summary of those in there as well. And then finally, the overall plan maps are Appendix D. And by all means, interrupt me at any point with questions, gentlemen. I'd be happy to answer them.
Sure. I'm looking at the schedule and the topics as we move forward. I'm questioning the level of engagement that we will have with our larger city, for example.
Okay.
Some of the topics that, I know the city council is currently looking at and the futuristic looking at seem to be more for the city veins. And so how do we as a county tie, these kinds of things in because I see, topics, whether we're talking about housing, whether we're talking infrastructure, I know conservation is certainly talking about connecting our trails and bike paths, walking lanes, all of those type of things. And I know that in the long range plan that I sit on with the MPO, they are looking at the connectivity of the different transportation modes. So how do you envision that there will be more opportunity for us to collaborate, say, with the council in terms of moving forward and seeing this for the betterment of all of Story County?
Yes, I think absolutely. So the Citizens Task Force is one of the groups that is involved with this plan. They're one of the ones that meet monthly. And I believe, and Leanne, hopefully you can correct me, the City of Ames has representation. I believe there's a council member from the City of Ames that's on that. So just initially, there is involvement at that level, which is one of the probably the primary steering of citizens from the county that have input on the plan. I would say the next 2 months where we're really talking about land use and that type of thing, especially with Ames reopening their urban fringe plan and that kind of thing, we're going to have a lot of discussions in the next 2 months and hope to have strong representation from the city of Ames and likewise Nevada and their growth. I think there's a lot that's going to be affected by this area of growth. And the other one we talked about this morning with the project team is Huxley and Cambridge and what they're going to be doing in the future. That's significant growth as well. Ames is the most populous city, and they are definitely represented in the survey results in many ways. So we've done some up front. There's certainly some to come. And my answer to your question would be yes. There's a lot of opportunity and has been to this point to make sure that there's collaboration between this process and what Ames is planning for the future.
Leanne, will you primarily be the conduit for the county working along with our team here during that process, or will there need to be any involvement for any one of the three of us at some point as we move forward?
The primary, it's a little bit confusing, I know, but the primary project management rests with planning and development for the overall arching. I am involved, obviously, I do have the history component that I can bring to this, but I'm involved with the communication aspect, and then I'm a team member of the project team, so I attend those as well as the citizen task force. But I've been attending all the meetings to make sure that there's a consistent message that we're hearing and that's going out as well.
And Wayne, I'd just add that if it was a very clearly stated intention from us that all of our communities be pulled in, understanding that that Ames is our largest, may take special effort. I know that I've had a conversation with the city manager and the mayor both in Ames, and they have both indicated their willingness to take an active role in all of this. Now, I'm not sure how well it's going to dovetail with some of the work that Ames is doing right now, and that's the challenge that we face. But that's one of the reasons, to me, it's so exciting that we have finally reopened the Urban Fringe Plan, because that gives us the opportunity to try to make sure that these match wherever possible. Leigh, anything to add to that?
Just on that, and Chris mentioned the membership of the Citizens Task Force. That includes membership or representation from every community in Story County and every school district. And we were very particular and very purposefully did such so that Ames' interest could be expressed just equally to McCallsburg's interest. That being said, we took it a little step further, though, with Ames and the Planning and Housing Director. Kelly Diekman actually sits on the project team because that is a different dynamic. So we've tried to address it in that manner.
So we're working to get there.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. This is the website where the draft chapters are. If you click on those links, they're all available at this point. So, like I said, we kind of wanted to make this not too long this morning and go through this stuff, but they're available to you guys and anybody else who wanted to review them at this point. And we've gotten some reviews back, and we'll continue to update those as we work through the process. Ultimately, these are the elements that will be part of the planning process that the comprehensive plan covers. We have agriculture, resource, community facilities, land use, emergency preparedness, housing, economic development, transportation, communications, public safety, infrastructure and utilities, intergovernmental coordination, and cultural and natural resources. The big difference between some of the documents that you've had in the past, the framework for land use and that kind of thing, is that this plan will address all of these elements. Now, in your particular setup, there are some that we think were a bigger emphasis at this point for the county, being, you know, mostly in land use. It's, you guys are mostly interested in the future of the unincorporated area, but as Leanne said, you have to work with the cities to make sure that when growth occurs, it's working between the county and the cities that will be growing. We also have, and as you mentioned, Wayne, the recreation and natural resources and that effort, that a lot of that falls on the county, because a lot of those areas that our people want to conserve are no longer in cities. You know, if they're in a city, they're probably in a park at this point, whereas the more the natural areas, the areas and resources are in the county. And then also the economic prosperity. And that was one of the things that came from the staff's assessment of the framework plan and from the APA report, was that to look at economic prosperity and have it as a second. How can Story County continue to be competitive and be more competitive in not only central Iowa but regionally and nationally, and in terms of the businesses not only within the cities but the strong agricultural base that you have in the county. So those are three standout chapters at this point. And then the other ones will be addressed. But basically, we are going to design goals for each one of these, objectives, and then policies. The goals are the overreaching. The objectives are what we're really trying to get at. The policies will be the thing that survives and gets reviewed on a basis where somebody comes in with a rezoning application, somebody comes in with, you know, some type of new land use or something like that, or a new business. The policies are the things that P&Z, staff, and you guys will look at and say, okay, you know, this may not fit exactly what we have with on our map. You know, this doesn't fit in a bubble, or this doesn't fit on. But does it align with our policies that came through this planning process? And can we make a decision based on those? It allows good flexibility and discussion throughout that process. Engagement activities: we have the website, county and planning development staff, the consultant team, project team meetings. We're the second and fourth Tuesdays. Those are moving to the first and third here in September. The first one, we're not going to do next week. We're going to do on the 15th. So the person-only meeting in September will be on the 15th. The task force meets the second Thursdays of the month. We have Planning and Zoning Commission meetings, obviously the Board of Supervisor meetings. We did a youth survey. We'll be rolling out an ISU student survey. And we had the full survey, the citizen survey, which was closed after July. And then we'll have plan open houses coming up in January of 2016. And we have the community input meetings, natural resources and recreation input meetings. Chris, you said you guys have the Conservation Board meeting on the 14th?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So there was a meeting on the 14th that's posted on the website as well for conservation of natural resources and recreation. Citizen survey, I mentioned that. So
how many of your responses did we get on the citizen survey?
685.
And we got, and how did we do on the youth survey?
We are still working. That one's got 40 as of this morning when I looked. But we talked about in the project team meeting this morning about the best person to contact is the school district to get some flyers up and get some more of those out now that school's back in session.
Perfect.
So,
yep.
The citizen survey was open through July. Your survey will be open through September, and the Iowa State student survey, Leanne and I are working on. And again, all of the survey results in full form will be in summary of those will be in Chapter 2. The full survey results will be in Appendix B. So everyone's input that put in a survey will be represented in the plan in that Appendix B. So, you know,
700 sounds like a good representation. What have you guys found?
It's a great representation. The key is the input that we get from it, and we got some great input. I will jump forward to that. So we asked a bunch. There were 40 questions or something like that, and we got some great responses, and using the SurveyMonkey tool, we're able to sort those even by where they came from. So, you know, one of the questions we asked at the end was where you live, where you work, you know, are you in the county, are you in an incorporated area, are you in a city? We can sort all of that. The quality of life ones were some of the ones that jumped out. And these will all be available and they'll be in there. And I can certainly send links to the results, and they're in the project team presentations on the website. But, you know, we had people, the quality of life, they're here because it's near their job, the schools, and the small town rural atmosphere. And this was from the key, as you just mentioned, is 684, 700 is a really good, but we got really good feedback from those in addition to having a good turnout. So, and the youth surveys coming back are interesting as well. You know, we left those as open-ended questions for students so that we didn't, you know, we had, I think there's 6 to 8 questions, and then, you know, the only ones that have any multiple choice type answers are what school district you're in. We left those open-ended, and we're getting some really good responses from kids, too, just in their own words, talking about the plan. And at the beginning of that on the website, it talks about what a comp plan is, why the county's doing this, why we're seeking their input. So there's a little bit of an educational part up front, then it goes into the survey. But, again, if somebody wanted to take that use survey, it's right at the top of the website. It's the first thing that comes up if you put in c2cplan.com. So steer them that direction, and they can find it.
Is there something that we can do to help publicize to the students? We would like to see them, you know, go to this document and, you know, submit comments. I'm just wondering if you thought about additional things and how frequent maybe we need to send out some type of reminder. If we thought of what's the ISU newspaper called, the Daily?
Mm-hmm.
See if we could put something there as well. I'm just throwing out different things, maybe flyers that could be made available through the Greek organizations.
Okay.
Things that where a lot of students do gather. There are a lot of different on-campus organizations that have some very engaged and active students, whether or not we might want to utilize those as well. I'm just trying to think in terms of different ways to call attention to this. And I think as a result, it also gives a student a feeling that, yes, you know, we're talking 36,000 people now. You are an integral part of Story County and the city of Ames, et cetera. And so hearing some of your concerns and views is very important to us, you know, those of us who are policymakers.
Those are some great ideas. One of the first things that I know Leanne and I talked about after we get that set up was to talk with the regional planning department at Iowa State and get their input on the survey in general and then move forward from there with how. But I think you're right. In sending it to the Greek Council, sending it to the Iowa State Daily, and maybe a couple postings if it's open, you know, if it's open for a couple months, maybe we can get in there a few times and that type of thing. And we will design flyers. We did this one for this summer for the survey and the youth survey, just to put it, we put it up at swimming pools and libraries, that kind of thing, you know, attempting to show that, hey, it's a quick, you can do it on a phone, you know, you don't have to. So we will do something similar for that outreach and do flyers as well to get, and you're right, Iowa State, you know, is 36,000 students. That's a huge part of, and they may not all be here in 20 years, but they certainly, we would like them to be, I'm assuming. community input meetings. We had these in June. We had one in Story City, one in Ames, at the library in Story City as well. We had one at the city of Colo at their city hall, and then Huxley at their community center at Colo and at Huxley. Varied in attendance. Ames had the most outturn, and we had some really good input from all of them, regardless of that. But we will do, with those community open houses that we're going to have in June, we'll do the same kind of thing. We'll probably still have one in Ames just because it's fairly central, but we'll pick some other cities around the county to have those other three to kind of spread this around and so that all the communities can have a chance to input regionally in that sense. We talked about basically, we did a SWOT analysis. So we went over a little bit about the visioning process that you guys have already gone through, focused on the vision pillars of natural amenities, governance, leadership, and learning environments, economy and growth and prosperity, and growth-oriented and sustainable infrastructure. I forgot I made that. So the process and why we did this input with these communities was basically we wanted to get their strengths, issues, their threats, opportunities, all of that stuff out on the table, talk to them about how those fit into the elements of the plan and then the vision for Story County, and then ultimately how those get turned into goals and objectives. So went through that process. This is basically what they went through, and then we collected all of these. Now, those results will be, and this is just a shot of what is put together at this point for Chapter 2, the public input chapter. We talk a little bit about the workshops and what we did. There were some photographs that we took at a few of them, and then basically we go through each one of those pillars, these natural amenities, governance, leadership, that kind of thing. We go through and record all of the results that we got from, P&Z went through this workshop, The Citizen Task Force went through the workshop, and then all four of the community input meetings. And then we've also done some additional analysis with, Chris has done, with the Conservation Board, and then a public input meeting that they had. So that will all be, again, in Chapter 2, and we have basically weaknesses and threats, strengths and opportunities. So the idea is that we put this at the front. People understand that there was a large public involvement, which is always one of the keys to making sure a comprehensive plan has good buy-in at the end, is that people were involved and engaged and had their opportunity. Build that into the goals, and then finally build it into the, you know, the future land use plan and policies and that type of thing that, that are used by the county to implement the plan down the line. Upcoming meetings, C2C project team meetings, again, the first one in September, and the only one will be on the 15th, but those go through February. Task force meetings are also through February on the second Thursday, and we have the plan review open houses in January, and then meetings with county P&Z and you guys in August and September for P&Z, but then again in November and then March through June. So a lot of opportunity, a lot of upcoming meetings that you guys will be in, involved with, but the also the public has an opportunity to comment. So I would just reiterate that if anybody, you know, comes and says, I'd love to be a part of the process, please steer them to, you know, Leanne or Jerry or us, and we'll make sure that they know when those meetings are at and how they can be part of the process. And that is all I have, so we would both be happy to answer any further questions you guys have.
Job well done.
Yep.
Exciting. Something really to look forward to, so thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you bringing up to this point, guys. Thanks.
Thank you for the presentation. Absolutely. Next item is public forum number 2, opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. Board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody wishing to address us? Seeing no one moving to the microphone. Gets us to liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Paul.
Okay.
Wayne.
Recently had the Boys and Girls Club Board meeting the other day. We had an outstanding meeting, a lot of positive things going on. There's going to be a dedication of the remodeling of the facility, the recreational area coming up here quite soon. And we're still in the process of talking about future growth plans. Been communicating with the Ames School District about the potential use of one of their buildings in the future. However, that's been put on hold now for at least a year because of construction projects. But all in all, I was really pleased with the positive direction that our Boys and Girls Club is continuing to show. And then I've got the HERTA Public Transit Board meeting coming up this Thursday. I think not a whole lot of key issues there, but then Thursday afternoon is our Regional Governance Board will be meeting once again. So we'll see how things are moving forward.
All right. Thank you. Pass. For me, announcement for supervisors, Paul,
pass.
Wayne.
Nope, pass.
None for me. That takes us to adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.